All right, we're in C++ world again. How are you, man? Who are you?
How are you? I'm pretty good. I'm Bogdan Mihalsia. I'm a developer on the VC project system and his resource editor team. Mm-hmm. And I worked here for 5 years in VC.
Cool.
And along the way, I probably built up an experience in design time, which is kind of IntelliSense and editors.
Uh-huh.
And resource editor, that's another big one that I spent 2 years on it.
Nice.
And lately, the last 2 years, I spent time with a new project system that we try to offer to our customers in Dev10.
Okay.
We call Dev10 a new product, the one that will come up Visual Studio.
Exactly.
And I'm pretty excited about it because we'll have a lot of new features.
Mm-hmm. So let's talk about that. I mean, the MS Build engine. What's new in the MS Build building for 2010? That's really what we want to know.
MS Build, it's a platform, a build platform that was already there for the last 4 years, mm-hmm. and managed languages. They already used it, very successful. And what's very interesting about it that they have a set of features that we really like to have, and our build system, which is proprietary to VC Build, doesn't have them. And it was kind of an interesting challenge because we were always looking at their features and they were looking at ours, and we had features that both of us wanted from the other one. Mm-hmm. And we said, okay, let's not duplicate effort anymore and not offer features that some languages will benefit from and the others don't. And then, you know, customers say, okay, why don't I have this in VC when I have it in C Sharp, or the other way around. And we decided, okay, let's have a common build engine, and everybody uses the same build engine, and then we have a common project system. Pretty much that's the vision. And we merged the two technologies for this release.
Excellent. So it worked.
It worked, yeah.
The experiment worked.
The experiment worked, and I'm pretty excited about it, because right now we have all those features.
So what were some of the features that the C-sharp people had that the C++ people didn't have in Visual Studio?
So from that perspective, building C applications is usually complex also because of legacy and also because of the needs of a native application. And MS Build has one of the main things that we really want, which is diagnostics. Mm. Like if the build went wrong, what do? How do you investigate? Where do you actually search for the problem? Mm-hmm. And VC had logging capabilities that were not very detailed, and every time when you hit like a complicated build problem, it was kind of tough to debug. Mm. So that's one of the main ones. Now, obviously, we have a huge list of features that we like from them. I can mention, for example, a kind of uniform incremental build support that they have. It's called File Tracker. Pretty much it's built on top of File Tracker being a tool there. Mm. And that's very interesting for a large scale project, because you have multiple tools playing in, and those will be supported by kind of the same style tool doing incremental. And this tool, we can chat about it later if you want, but that's a big benefit. Another one is extensibility, that it's offered easily by MS Build. Native multi-targeting, it's a nice feature that we easily did in this release just because of MS Build capabilities to do that.
Excellent. So targeting what, multiple processors?
That's actually interesting. Let's talk about native multi-targeting. I'm pretty sure our customers will be really happy with it. Mm-hmm. So far, the feedback we got was really good on this feature. C++ source code bases usually are kind of evolutionary. Yeah, we observe from the market that usually starts low, having like a solution, 5-6 projects around. Then the team grows, company grows, they start having 20 solutions, 100 projects each. They start adding C# in the middle, setup, and so on. And all that blows up. Mm-hmm. Experience grows with the team. Developers in those teams are actually getting better. They start doing it right. But then they leave, they bring new guys in, and it's the normal churn happens in any company. And then you have bugs that start seeping through. Those code bases are migrating to one product to another. Like we have products coming even lower than VC6. They went to 7, they went to 7.1, 8, 9. And then every problem happening anywhere in the middle starts actually showing up right now when we try to migrate that project that went so long. And we say, what is this? Where it came from? It's like, we never seen a project like that. And then there you go. What happened? We had probably a result of various migrations and morphing along the way. And then you end up with this project that's a real project.
Yeah, excellent. And, of course, you have to build these projects. So let's talk a little bit about exactly, you know, sort of the new innovations in MS Build that helps alleviate some of these basic fundamental problems that you're talking about. I mean, where does it fit into what you just painted?
So right now, for example, let's talk about multi-targeting because it's something that we really like, and I'm pretty sure customers there will love it. Because of the problems we described before, the evolutionary kind of state of any source base they have, usually companies are in the middle of their dev cycles. They are never right at the end or right at the beginning. So when we ship one product, we always kind of land with that product in the middle of their cycle. And that's an adoption problem because, you know, migration, it's usually not a straightforward process. You have new libraries, you have new headers, you have new tools, compiler, linker changes, and third-party libraries that don't support the new compiler libraries, and they are not built with those, and you have all those problems. And most of the time, I've noticed, and we noticed due to surveys we had, that customers have a tendency to wait a little bit before they migrate. And that wait time might be between 10 months to even a year and a half, which is it's a little bit painful because you have all these new features coming up in the new product, IntelliSense, for example, ours, IntelliSense, you have a much more powerful IntelliSense, a much faster IntelliSense, you have new editor, a much faster editor, more extendable editor. And a lot of companies, they want that because that's a productivity increase for their developers, the day-to-day work. But on the other flip side, they don't want to integrate this new product in the middle of their build cycle and in the middle of their product cycle because they are afraid that that might actually delay their deadline.
So.
Now, multi-targeting, the feature, finally. This is the pain. Now, how we fix it? We have multi-targeting, which we had before, but in a way that was not very nice, accessible to them. We allow right now, very easily, project-based, if they want, to point that project to be built using the old tools. They can use a new product. They can we decouple them. Right now, you can build with Dev 10. You can build using the Dev 9 toolset. Means you can use the compiler from there, the linker, you can use the libraries that were at that time, and so on. The only requirement, you have to have a side-by-side install the old product with the new one.
Okay.
And that worked pretty well. We had recently an event. I don't know if you know, but VC has every year, we have an event, I would say a major event called DevLab, where we try to bring in-house various companies. It's a public announced event on VC blog and a bunch of other blogs. And companies that sign up, they come here, they bring their source bases, and they start playing with a new product. And I think native multi-targeting was the superstar because the benefit of what we did there was we migrate them build system-wise to the new product, but then they didn't migrate to the tool sets and all that in the first phase. It means that we validated the accuracy of the migration in the first shot, and then we knew for sure that if it builds, then your build system migrated successfully. So right now you're exactly in the same state you were before. And now let's go do the second migration. So you can use the product the way it is. You can use IntelliSense Editor, but still you build towards the old product, which is exactly what they want usually at the beginning. And then if you want, you want to have time, go change your source code, adapt the new SDL changes, go change the headers, SDK changes, and compiler breaking and whatever affects your source code.
That's awesome.
We are really happy with it. I think that was probably one of our biggest achievements, at least from the surveys we got.
Cool. So I think what would be kind of fun would be to talk about sort of the anatomy of building, right? I mean, we hear it a lot, you know, build your project. Let's talk a little bit about, you know, for people in the audience who aren't C++ developers that are watching this, I mean, let's talk about how a C++ project is built.
Okay, so actually I will draw, if you want, a diagram of how we had it and what changes we made, and eventually we're going to explain you why we choose to do something. And so let's start. So in VC, I'll call it VC 9.0, but I'm referring, when I say VC 9.0, I'm referring to Visual Studio 9.0.
Okay.
In this one, so pretty much how was the diagram? So we had IDE, and when I call IDE, it's pretty much the Visual Studio editors, resource editor, all those guys that are inside Visual Studio, and you easily can access them through Visual Studio, DevM, VXE. And then we had the wizards. We had conversion, for example. Conversion tool, that the one that actually helps you migrate from, for example, from Visual Studio 8.0 in this case to 9.0 or 6.0 to 9.0. And then, obvious, this is, I want to draw it really big because this is actually a very interesting one, is the third parties. These are external customers or even inside Microsoft, but not Visual Studio related, customers that actually work with our APIs and they actually integrate themselves with the build system. Now, we have here what we call VC Project System Engine APIs. All these guys are talking with this. And what we have in the current shipped product, we had this monolith block, which is VC Project Engine DLL. All the logic of the build system was inside this guy, this black box, if you want, where the only thing access you had was the public API that we had and we shipped. Every logic was inside here. So that's that was the first problem. And then this guy was actually dealing with the VC project files. Probably I can make this box a little bigger. What I mean by this, when I say VC project files, I'm referring to the classic VC project that everybody knows, VC proj file. I'm referring also to the dot rules file. For the ones that are not familiar with it, this is pretty much the custom build rule, was our extensibility point for introducing new tools in the build system. And obvious was the VS props. Okay? Mm-hmm. Now, obvious, this guy also was the one called, and I will add an extra box here, by the VC build, or by ID doing build. And the result was actually, let's pick a tool that everybody's familiar with, which is cl.exe. So assuming that you, in your project, you want to compile a file or something, by actually this flow in the diagram, you end up in here. Obvious, loading the file, you know what file you want, and then you end up here constructing the command line and all that. So you call this guy. So this was what we had before. Now, we were in a very interesting situation. We knew we have to adopt a completely new build system that has a completely new format, a new object model behind it. So we knew that we have to move there. But how can we move to actually minimize cost and also do not affect these guys?
Yes.
So what we did, we said, okay, what shipped already public interfaces are there, so we cannot really touch them. So then what we did kind of this. I will erase this box, but this box actually doesn't disappear. We're just moving to another one. And I will show you later which one. So we pretty much created a very thin layer here. We call it shim. This is just a simple facade between the old and the new. And then we have here a custom. We have actually the common project system that we created. This is a common project system that will be in the future releases will be common for every single language. VB, C Sharp, us will be in there. But not in Dev 10. And we have MS Build object model here. I should say actually V4 object model. And then this guy deals directly with the same box we had before, but it's again the VC project files. The only thing right now, the extension changed. So we have the VCX proj. We have targets. And we have props. We can chat a little bit later what are the other changes that they were actually in here. So this will store the new project files. And then something that, again, that changed, obvious, we are deprecating this guy. So VC build is gone. We have a new player, which is obvious, MS Build. It's the MS Build EXE. MS Build. Now, MS Build knows the files, and from here goes to the system targets, the VC system targets, and props. These guys actually are going to the tasks. It's getting lower here. Okay. Now this guy calls the incremental build tool that I was talking about, which is the file tracker, let's call it FT, and then finally gets to the tool. Okay, now from the first view of this picture, it's a little bit more complicated than it used to be before. Mm-hmm. But let's see the benefit. I mean, it looks complicated because we have more boxes, but it doesn't mean that the code is bigger or the logic is bigger.
Yeah.
The only thing we did, as you can see, we created a very clear separation between the project system, which is this, and the build system, which is pretty much this low part here. The transparency that comes with MS Build, which is another feature that we should say that MS Build has kind of a big advantage over the VC Build, mm-hmm. is transparency. The logic of the build is in these files. These files are actually openable in Notepad. You can see what's going on. You can see exactly what's the logic there. It's pretty much like a script. Mm-hmm. You see exactly what's in there. You understand what's going on. There's a lot of documentation, so there is no question what's going on in this stuff.
Okay.
So you can go there, look at it, and then understand exactly what's going on. Now, let's create, I hope the blue will actually show on the camera. So, this part here, this is the project system. Obvious ID is not fully there to be part of the project system, but that's kind of the box. And then we have, to be a challenge, but with green, we have the build system here. So that's kind of the separation. One thing that actually I forgot to draw on the board is we have the UI extensibility, which is a very interesting thing. Now, when you add a tool, I will draw this square here. So when you add a tool to the build system, we use XAML.
Okay.
So once you write that file there, you have the ability to pretty much light up the property sheets. So you'll see your UI in there. You can see for the tool you have, you can see the UI you have. And at that point, for example, I can explain. For example, if you have a custom build tool, let's pick a tool. You have a random tool that does, let's say, zipping.
Okay.
Mostly a user will try to actually get, in this case, will try to get the UI in property sheet, so the user, the future user of that tool, will be able to set up where to zip the file or how to compress it, what percentage, and so on. In order to actually hook it into the build system, you have to have this UI side, then you have to have a target file and a prop file. Now, the target file will contain the logic, the execution logic of that specific tool. Obviously, the task, if you want, you have to have the task in order to actually wire it and make the call into the EXE. And the props will contain the defaults. In case your tool comes with some defaults, you can stick them in that property file. We highly recommend, if users really want to actually play with this, to actually look the way we did it and then inspire themselves from those that actually they can see. That's what I'm saying. Opening in Notepad, this system, VC system files, it's pretty easy. You can see exactly how we did it and learn from there. Okay, I think with this diagram would be interesting also if we can explain the third-party story.
Yeah.
In a big percent, they shouldn't be affected. There are some slight changes that they probably have to do because we had to do them also on our side. There are some APIs that change, and they might actually have to change minimum their code. But the change they have to do, it's almost none.
Okay.
So in most of the cases, if they follow the APIs and all that, they don't have to make too many changes.
The shim makes that possible.
The shim makes that possible, exactly.
Great.
Okay, so let's... I will erase that. Obviously, I forgot to change the title, which is right now 10, yeah?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Now, that being the diagram of the flow of the build system, and I hope it doesn't look more complicated, but it just proves that actually we extracted the entire logic of the build system out of the black box we had before.
That's great. You made it more modular.
Correct. And then right now
it's a pattern.
It's much easier for users to understand and interact and change.
Absolutely.
Let's see what actually changed from, if you want, from the file extension perspective. So we have the VC project going to VCX project. This is actually a very interesting change that we made here. This is more for enlistment friendly, which also we have to discuss, that right now, because we have MS Build, we open the door for enlistment friendly. It's a feature that our customers really ask for a long time. VC approach filters. Okay, what's interesting with this? We extracted before if you want the UI grouping of your files that you had before. Let's say you really wanted to have your sources in a folder, your headers in another folder, your resources in a different folder. But let's say my colleague didn't like that. He wanted to actually have a separation. Instead of having only sources, he wanted to have also my specific sources and my other sources.
Okay.
Then at that moment, he was actually going to change the project file. Okay, so what we said, okay, this is just a UI view of that file. It doesn't affect the build at all. Filters shouldn't be in the file in the first place. So then we created this extra file. This extra file contains only, if you want, the UI view of the project file. It has nothing to do with the build system per se. That's the first big change we made there. Then for the VS props, and I would really like if we have time to talk actually about the property sheets, which is a very interesting feature that we had and we still have, and customers actually maybe should enjoy it even further if they can. This one moves to props. And then we have rules. This was the custom build rule file moves into target. This will handle the execution, if you want, store the logic of the execution of the build. Then we have we'll create the props file. And obviously we created an XML file. This XML file, again, it's only for the UI side, so you can see that.
Okay.
However, in the custom build rule, the interesting part about this one is only for custom build rules. For the classic tools we have, compiler, linker, this is only for UI.
Okay.
But for a custom build rule, this XML is very important for another reason, which is a complete new feature that we push in MS Build. It's called Task Factory. And we have the ability right now, because you actually pretty see here that we don't have a task. The reason why we don't have a task, because that task will be generated on the fly from this file.
Interesting.
So there is a task that gets generated on the fly when you build, and then that task will know exactly how to wire your command and pretty much generate the command switch and all that. And that happens because this XML, the XAML file, will have a description exactly how to wire the command line.
Now, to be clear, it's XML, not XAML. XAML being the WPF markup.
No, this is
simply
not the WPF.
XML.
Exactly, yeah, exactly.
Just so clear, people, because when they hear XAML, they think there's an A in there.
I agree.
All right, you got it. Cool.
So, this is what we have for the rules file, and this is pretty much what you will observe after you migrate, that your extension will pretty much change. Okay, I think you got that, yeah?
Yes, absolutely. And let's use black for this session.
Okay,
a little hard on the focus for the camera.
Okay, super. So I'll make sure I have black in my hand.
Cool, man.
Okay, let's see. Let's talk about a bit about property sheets, so then we can finish that part.
Great.
So, property sheets is one of those features that we notice that customers, once they get them, they really love them. They cannot live without them. Now, in the current product, for some reason, they're a little bit harder to discover. But I think with the new MS Build and the concept of the whole build system being out there and exposed, customers, so they can pretty much look at it, it's much easier to understand them. So let's pick a scenario, a very simple scenario. So pretty much somebody who's not familiar with the property sheet actually can understand exactly what I'm referring to. So let's say we have a solution. Let's call it solution one. And this solution contains, let's say, three projects. Let's call it P1, P2, and P3. Now, in general, in a real enlistment situation, projects like this, they share a lot of stuff. They share a lot of properties. They are enlistment-specific properties. They are feature related, because in enlistment you don't have only one thing. You have sometimes features, like in our case here, you have VC in our Visual Studio enlistment. You have Visual Studio, but then you have VC, you have VB, you have C#. All these have different requirements. Okay, so obviously in these projects you have commonality. Let's eventually, I cannot use blue, so I actually do that. So let's assume this part is common. Okay, the problem is, let's say you want to change something in that part right now. So what you do, you go change that. But what if you forget to change one of them? Then you have a bug, and then so on.
Yes.
So in order to actually eliminate that and also make it much easier for the dev that I will do the review, instead of doing a diff between three files and then trying to figure out which one you missed, you create a property sheet file. So that's a file that can live, awesome. Let's say, here. Let's call it PS1. And then, obviously, you import it here. So let's actually make an arrow like that, and an arrow like that, and an arrow like that. Okay, now all these projects are inheriting from that property sheet. What's interesting is every time when you change the property sheet, they get it for free. They are not even touched. So that's another thing. The commonality is there. What happens, let's say if I have another commonality between these two guys, I can reply the same thing. I can create another property sheet here, and then obvious include it here, and include it here. Mm-hmm. Not necessarily in that guy. And obvious, this problem really scales, because what if I have a solution here, and let's say this one has two projects, and I will not make it more complicated than that, because at that moment we will have too many lines. Let's say we have P4 and P5, and maybe even P1 from here. Because, for example, in enlistment, you might even end up sharing projects between solutions. Now, let's say that also this guy uses PS1. Okay, guess what? Maybe this property shouldn't be a solution kind of level, should be an enlistment level property sheet. So you have, instead of actually not in a solution, it should be in the project included. What you can do, you can store this property sheet in a folder that's not related to the solution. It might be somewhere directly in the root of your enlistment, and you store all your property sheets in there. And if you want for a C developer, I would pretty much see these guys as an include file. Just think about them as an include file. It's exactly how we do it with your C source code, your CPPs and all that, when you include header files. This is exactly how you should treat them. Just stick the commonalities in there, and then it will just happen for you.
Excellent.
So that's the property sheets. I think with MS Build and the new concept we have, property sheets will become even more popular and actually easier to use. So that's our bet.
That's great. And this, of course, is true for all of our languages in Dev 10, right?
Sure.
Since you're all using the same MS Build now.
They use the same build engine. We can chat a little bit about that, but I don't want to enter into many details.
Sure.
VC is the first one migrating to the new common project system and using the new object model.
Okay.
And this is a huge gain for us, because first of all, the new common project system will contain all the features we want in VC. We work with common project system team and make sure that all the needs we have are in that project. And right now, the result is pretty much visible, that we don't have anything that we have to work around. It's pretty much everything. It's by default in there.
Good.
So I'm pretty happy. So I'll move back to my chair. All
right. And we'll look out the window, and I see you have Milan, 1993-94. What's that all about?
Why
93-94, man?
That's my... Yeah, it's kind of old. I'm an old guy, too. I don't look that old, but...
No, you don't. You don't have any gray hair at all, dude.
I do have one.
Uh-oh.
Yes.
So where are you from?
I'm from Romania, and it's interesting that I have a team that's from Italy, but yeah, that's what happens sometimes.
Yeah.
And, I'm a big fan of Milan. It's not a great year for us, this one,
no,
but...
But that's okay, man.
It's okay. We had good years last 2 or 3 years, so it's okay.
Awesome. So what else?
So let's see. I would really like to talk about the extensibility of the new system we offer, which
great.
I think it's pretty important. Most of the time when you have a large code base, customers really want to extend the build system. They want to have their own tools. They have their own stuff. Sometimes they compress, they do stuff, they change in coding. There are a lot of needs out there to customize.
Mm-hmm.
And we will offer out-of-the-box a system that will probably fit 90% of the needs. But for the last 10% of the needs before, was a little bit painful. Like the current product we have, it is possible you can do that, but not in an easy way. Mm-hmm. So what we can do right now with the extensibility, we have this easy way to pretty much change the build system, introduce your tool in the build system, you can change the flow of the build system. And everything is out there, and it's in those files that you can change with them with Notepad. So that's the beauty of it. So we are pretty happy of it. And also, another interesting aspect that comes with the new common project system, that you can expand that project system as well. For example, you can have your custom UI. You can have your custom UI in your property sheets, which before were kind of a little bit tied to the property grid we're offering. But if you look to the code analysis that we'll have, I think even in the current beta we have out there, you can actually see that it's customized. It's not the same grid that we have on the other files. So that's a very powerful feature that we offer.
Excellent. And so I guess, you know, one of the things about when you think about C++ projects versus C Sharp and VB.NET and any really of the managed languages is, I mean, you guys have, necessarily a little bit more complex compilation and build, at least, with your linker and
That's
all
true.
That stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I understand why we're going for parity, such that you get the basic features that everybody can share across. Because in the real world and in the future, C++ will be the system language, and then VB and C Sharp is going to be what people are writing their UI in. I mean, theoretically, maybe not. At least when they add new UI features.
Sure.
That seems to be where we're pushing people. So let's talk a little bit about the, I just wanted to bring that up just because one of the things where C++ has been lacking with respect to C Sharp and VB is clearly in the IDE and IntelliSense. C++ developers always ask for, wow, why can't we have fast, cool, that kind of stuff. And you guys have delivered that in Dev 10, and you started that in 2008 as well.
It's true. I think 2008 was a big gain for us in performance, you're talking about IntelliSense.
Yeah.
And Dev 10 will definitely be a success, I'm pretty sure, based on those current surveys that we have. We are still working on getting even better performance. We changed a little bit the system, and I think maybe you should do a talk with those guys that they really work hard for IntelliSense.
Yeah.
But as a package, what VC will ship this time, I'm pretty sure that people will be excited with this release. For us, we call it VC 10 is the new VC 6. And it's more in a...
What does that mean? I haven't figured that out yet. What
it's interesting. I think
mean?
from VC perspective, I'm talking about IDE specific here. Okay. I don't want to go into libraries or compiler issues. I'm saying that for us, VC6 was the one that customer really liked for certain reasons. We even have the feature that everybody kind of loved in VC6, which is the class wizard. Mm-hmm. And we cut it along the way, and then people were kind of, I really like that one and all that. So we have that back, and it's actually even much better, we think.
Okay.
There are also other changes, like, for example, Resource Editor, a guy that, a part of the product that we added a lot of feature this time, and we have a new Ribbon Editor, which is the cool stuff coming out there from Office, and then now it gets into the OS. Mm-hmm. And we are really happy with that. So it's all across. So right now, VC will have pretty much changes in every single part of their product.
Excellent. So I guess another thing I think is interesting is that C++ projects, as you mentioned, tend to get large over time.
I mean, for us, this was very important for us to get into the common project system. Be first there and make sure that they are able to actually work with the customer base we have.
Yes.
And yes, we do. I mean, the number of projects we have are pretty large, and the number of files that we have per project, and everything, it has to scale. So that was one of the main major concerns we had.
And does it scale?
It does. Obviously, during DevLab, we discovered that we have some performance issues. Though.
Yeah.
When you go live
and
you play with the real customers, then you really see some of these issues showing up. As I said, evolutionary ends up with a kind of interesting result, and definitely we are fixing those. And it's very good for us to get early warnings, if you want, or early feedback from the customers that something doesn't really fit or scale, then we can address them pretty fast, and definitely we'll probably end up having a very good product in that time.
So one of the things I would ask, because I sort of, cover a lot of this on Channel 9, I think it absolutely should apply to, building software in the building sense, the compilation, linking, building, like you're talking about, is if I'm a developer and the hardware budget has been renewed and I go to my boss, I'm like, hey, man, I want 4 cores. And, of course, you're going to give me 8 gigs of RAM. I mean, that's not the hard part. But I want to be able to tell them, you know what, if I get the more cores I have, the faster I'm going to build, man, because there's a lot of work being done in, VC++ world around concurrency and parallelism. So let's talk a little bit about how do you approach that, when you think about a world with 20 cores, 40 cores, 100 cores on your dev machine. When you're designing MS Build and creating it, are there areas where you can parallelize?
I don't think it's a short answer. We can come up with a very short answer for that. And it's so far, it's not like, you know, a very clear path that we have. Mm-hmm. And we cannot really say, look, this is the way it will look like in 10, in 20 years. We don't know exactly how that thing will go. I think from the hardware perspective, there are many things that actually are important. Might be even the hard disk per se. You prefer to have maybe a solid state.
Yes.
Or it's hard to say. I at that moment, obviously, we have that in mind. Because the only thing we notice is that every time when we migrate to a new version of the product, the code base, if you want, the reference code base that we use, it's always grown with like 25 to 50%. Mm. And based on that, the scale of the project are getting bigger and bigger. Like, we reach places where you almost have like 10,000 files per solution or per project even. Mm-hmm. So that's getting there. And the UI, we have, at some point we have to rethink the UI, the way we do Solution Explorer, to just have a different paradigm in there and pretty much deal with the size, because you cannot really scroll to a huge number of files.
Excellent. Hey, man. Well, hey, thank you for coming on Channel 9.
I'm pretty
this
happy that...
This is the face of MS Build for VC++ people. Right on,
it's
man.
One of the faces.
It's one of the faces, but you're a dev. We like getting devs on camera, man. And we'll come back and revisit this as we continue march on into the future.
I'm pretty sure, and I hope you guys will enjoy what we come up with in Dev 10. And let's hope that the next release will be an excellent one for everybody.
Excellent, man. And if Niners have questions, we may come back here and have you answer them.
Yeah, sure.
Right on.
Okay.
Great to meet you.
Bye.
Bye.